Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Caplin Point Laboratories, hosted by Mirae Asset Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshal Patil from Mirae Asset Capital Markets. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Okay. Good afternoon, all. On behalf of Mirae Asset Capital Markets, I would welcome you all to Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Caplin Point Laboratories Limited. The management would be represented by Mr. C.C. Paarthipan, the Chairman, Mr. Vivek Partheeban, the Chief Operating Officer, Dr. Sridhar Ganesan, the Managing Director, Dr. D. Muralidharan, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. M. Sathyanarayanan, Deputy Chief Financial Officer. I would hand over to Vivek now for the opening remarks. Over to you, Vivek.
Thank you, Harshal. Hello, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you all to our earnings call to discuss our Q2 and first half results. Please note that a copy of all our disclosures are available on the investor section of our website, as well as on stock exchanges. Also note that anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I now hand over the call to our chairman for his opening remarks, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. After me, the MD of our company will present you the fact sheets with facts and figures. Then the COO will detail the developments of Caplin Steriles Limited. Now, I will highlight a few things that I think is very pertinent to our business. Number one, our pipeline is the key to our success. The pipeline profit stays in the form of liquid assets, which is at 1,440 crores, whereas our payables are around 100 crores only. We are sure of creating a deposit of 250 crores-300 crores in the current financial year too. Further, our work in progress is the indicator of the future, be it people, products or projects. Now that we are in the process of creating a vertical integration of various processes of our all pharmaceutical formulations, right from research and development and also manufacturing of key starting materials, intermediates, API formulation, and also the front-end presence in small, medium and larger geographies. Our transit goods to our subsidiaries prevent short supply in our main markets of Latin America. The sustainability of cash flow and profits are guaranteed in the last 10 years due to our unique business model in LATAM. The next three key pillars for sustainability to scalability are, number one, people first, number two, technology, number three, business model differentiation. As you know well, people first because of the talent that is not static, either it grows or depreciates or deteriorates if the attitude towards work is not adaptable. We attract the talent with attractive ESOPs, which you are aware, offering at par value rupees 2 for the share that's quoting somewhere around 730-740. We also understand the employee engagement and the importance of operational excellence. Hence, we appointed new training managers, both for soft and hard skills, for freshers to handle the attrition. As we are in the process of creating many projects, I have moved my residence from the city next to Caplin Steriles Limited. I also hail from a nearby village, and I am also confident of not only monitoring these projects effectively, but also create the cultural fit, which is the need of the hour. The system, as you know well, culture makes progress cumulative. Coming to technology, our new people are from the best of the best pharma companies who handles the technology for complex products, and the entire new machineries for our new projects are either imported from Germany or Italy. Now, the markets and models. Our immediate focus will be more on US, Mexico, and Russia. We are also filing dossiers in Brazil, Europe, China, and South Africa. Further, we are also concentrating in the smaller geographies of CIS and Southeast Asia. We are in the process of doing everything like any other company which has already grown. It's a question of 3 to 5 years before we also become part of the fast-moving companies. It will take 2 to 3 years to complete the facilities and the registrations, and especially the registration of products in the bigger geographies. Once it is done, we'll be in the road well traveled from the road less traveled of our past. Thank you. Now I invite the MD to give his presentation. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. Can you hear me? All of you, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you clearly.
Yeah. I would like to highlight some of the happenings in the last few months. To begin with, the U.S. market revenue crosses rupees 100 crores mark in the first 6 months of 22-23. And we have got about 175 crores rupees as orders in hand. Even if we make 100 crores from that, we will touch the break-even point for the first time for our Caplin Steriles. The total revenue of the half year 22-23 grew by about 18.4% Y on Y to 736 crores. The profit after tax increased by 20.2% to 178.34 crore rupees in H1 22-23 against rupees 148.38 crores in H1 21-22. The cash and cash surplus is at rupees 778 crores as on September 22. Free cash flow from operations, FCFO, stood at rupees 88 crores in H1 22-23. The receivables have been stable at around 95 days as on September 22. The inventories are at 296 crore rupees, which includes the in-transit inventory. Our chairman has been often telling that if we have good inventory very close to the customer, we will be fast growing in our business, especially in this disturbed world circumstances. Company's liquid asset, that is cash, inventory and receivables, is at rupees 1,444 crores. Caplin has won 2 institutional tenders at El Salvador for $6.2 million and in Ecuador, $14.5 million US dollars, which we have already started sending the materials. Company has acquired an API plant in Vizag, a backward integration initiative. Again, as Chairman has pointed out, we have 2 APIs, R&D APIs, one in Hyderabad and one in Pelangudi. These have already developed about 50 products, and many of them will see their startup in this API plant in Vizag. We will be refurbishing the plant, which may take about 3 to 4 months, after which it will go live. Caplin Steriles completes 2 complex emulsion injectable products and on track to complete 3 more in the next 3 or 4 months. Company CRO wing, Amaris Clinical, receives approval from Chile and in addition to the US FDA EIR. There's an expansion of soft gelatin division in Pondicherry to double the capacity. There has been good response from the market, and right now there's a shortage. Therefore, we are doubling the capacity. The capacity was about 2 crores. It will become 4 crores capsules per month. We are entering into new geographies as market expansion in Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Vietnam, Cambodia, Mexico, Iraq, and Russia. With that, I hand over the mic to our COO for his presentation for Caplin Steriles Limited. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. So I'll give a very quick introduction, especially a brief into Caplin Steriles, which is our regulated market business into injectables and ophthalmics. So we are seeing good progress on the revenue front, where we have almost caught up with last year's full year revenue within the first 6 months itself. And this is a healthy mix of product revenue, which is around 70-72%, and milestone and profit share revenue, which is the remaining 28-30%. Going forward as well, since we have a hybrid model of filing our own products and licensing them and also taking on CMO work, we expect to see this split up continue into the future as well. We have about 13 ANDAs approved in Caplin Steriles name, and another four approved partners' names. All but one have been launched in the US, and the last one should be launched in the next 3 to 4 months. We are occupying a reasonably good market share on most of the products that we have launched so far, and by and large, the pricing has remained stable. We have 7 ANDAs under review with US FDA, and we also have a 4 more products to be filed in the next few weeks, and about 2 to 3 more within March 23. In addition to US, we've also filed several products in Canada, Mexico, a couple of them in South Africa, Australia, and one in China through a partner. Coming to capacity expansion, we have what we call as phase 2, which will have 2 additional lines, and one of those lines have already been received. This is a high-speed vial filling line from Bosch, now called as Syntagon, which is ready for installation at our site right now. In the next 4 months, we hope to transfer maximum number of what we call as terminally sterilized products onto this line, because the turnaround time and also larger batch sizes is going to be possible out of this this new expansion, which will free up space for some of our additional projects to get completed in what we call as exhibit batches. We complete these exhibit batches before filing the ANDA. We will also have a prefill syringe line that will be installed in the next couple of months. This is a new drug delivery form that we have not had previously, and is also a little niche in the sense that there is always a shortage of capacity around the world for prefill syringes. So we hope to leverage on that as well. The company is certainly looking at additional CMO orders now that our capacities are being expanded significantly, and especially from existing customers who have worked with us well in the past. They know how well we work together once a project has been finalized. So there is no dearth of repeat inquiries coming in. We also will start to scout out for more in the coming few months. As part of our overall move towards digitalization, we have gone almost paperless at our quality control department, stability department, the microbiology department, etc. Now with the SAP also completing implementation, we will be very close full-scale digitalization at our plant, which gives furthermore transparency and integrity into our systems and additional comfort level internally and externally as well. We continue to remain bullish on our earlier target that we've given, which is to go as close as possible to 200 crore, where we will be achieving a comfortable break-even. And this is despite our enhanced spending on the filing fees for ANDAs, the Gudu for fees for the US, the facility fees, etc. So I think 2023 and 24 will have similar kind of growth, at least that is what we expect. And we hope for a larger revenue potential from the new capacities that we are installing as well. Finally, there is also a phase 3 of our plan that we are fast-tracking right now, which will have high lyophilization capacity, another area where there is significant shortages worldwide. And there will also be provision to add 5 more filling lines in that phase 3 plant. Once everything is completed, of course, we don't have a definitive timeline on when the additional five lines will be completed, but once all that goes through, Caplin Steriles would be considered one of the large standalone injectable facilities catering to the regulated markets. With that, we complete our presentation, and we hand over the floor for the question and answers, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Anika Mittal from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. Please proceed.
Sir, my question is from the side of these new projects coming online. Some of them are coming in December this year, and some of them will be next year, quarter one, quarter two. So what will be the incremental revenue potential from these upcoming projects, sir?
Can you please repeat again? I have not been able to hear, please.
Yes. Sir, I was asking, your new projects are coming online. Some of them are coming this year also, and some of them next year, quarter one, quarter two. So my question is from the revenue front. Means, how much do you expect the incremental revenue from these projects, sir?
Okay. We would put it this way. The revenue, as far as the revenue is concerned, it should be in the region of, say, actually 15%-20% as a whole. But what is important to us, as I have been telling actually to our investor, is the cash flow and profit. We are sure of maintaining actually the cash flow and profit. That's the reason I mentioned in course of my speech that we would be in a position to actually create a deposit of 250 to 300 crore this year. This will continue, that is for sure. At this juncture, when the whole world is going through a recession and the other, you know, the inflation, giving numbers will not be that feasible. And we are very sure of our business model, hence we don't face any major challenges in business.
And sir, what is that deficit you are talking about, sir? I'm not, actually that was not clearly audible. What you were talking about, the 250 deficit?
Yeah, 250. This year we are very confident of creating a deposit of 250 to 300 crore. That's what I told in course of my speech. Are you able to hear now, please?
Yeah. It is a cash deposit. Basically, we are increasing our surplus to the tune of 250 crore compared to last year. Not a deficit, a deposit.
Okay, understood.
Go deposit, ahead. Not deficit. Deposit.
Right. Understood. And you are talking this. This will be the 15% to 20% of whole overall revenue, right? So how much do you expect it from the
20%? Let it be in the form of 15% to 20%, so it's better to under-promise and overachieve.
Yeah, I understand. And how much do you expect it to, on the bottom line side, sir, of the overall bottom line?
More or less, we'll maintain the same.
15% or 20% incremental.
Yes.
Sorry, of the overall.
Not incremental. Whatever is happening now, we'll continue to maintain there. Maintain that, especially the bottom line and profits. Sorry, bottom line and cash flow.
That is your CAGR you are talking about, right? 15% to 20%.
Yeah, more or less the same.
Okay, understood. And our overall target to get double in every 3 years, I think. And
not every 3 years, I think 5 years. No, I don't want to give you something actually. See, okay. This can happen even every 3 years after 3 years.
Actually, that was written in your annual report. I was going through your annual report and there was written that your top line will become your bottom line in every 6 years. So that's where I calculated this. Basically.
That's correct. Not in 3 years. The after 6 years.
So that mathematics will come like this only. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Girish Bukru from Orbimed. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congrats on good quarter. Did I hear you correctly saying that you were expecting similar growth in steroids to continue for 23-24?
Yeah, so as we are obviously starting from a smaller base, the numbers, you know, do look like they're into the high double digits. 2023-24, when I'm talking about it, I'm talking about calendar year. So our order book looks very healthy. And some of the products that we have launched recently will start to show up in the repeat orders coming in the next 6 to 9 months. 2024 is a year that we are very, very confident about. 2023, we can still show growth because some of our products are still under review. But if I have to really, you know, stick my neck out and give you a projection, I think 2024 will be certainly a much better year for us.
And I mean, on the overall this 3x expansion that you've talked about, I was under the impression that you already have like a PFS line, which I know sir mentioned is a new form for you. Could you comment on, like, from, let's say, this 140 million units that you have in liquid lyo vials and PFS of 16 million, is that the expanded capacity number, or this is going to get expanded basically?
So we have a pre-filled syringe line at our ROW plant, you know, that is catering to the existing market. So the new pre-filled syringe line that we are adding is in our Caplin Steriles plant, which is going to be mostly catering towards our regulated market plants, you know. So the expanded capacities have not yet been declared. I think that will happen in the next press release once we have some information to show.
Okay. On the API plant, can you give some more details, like what kind of plant, I mean, of course, you are spending some more capex on this. So what kind of capabilities and backward integration that you see coming out in, let's say, a year or two? So any color on when will we see the benefits of backward integration playing out?
Yeah. So,
you go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so we are trying to achieve a couple of things over here. Number one is when it comes to our general category injectable products, which we are filing in the U.S. and other larger regulated markets, we want to make sure that we have a control over the continuity of supply, which is something that is going to be very, very crucial for any generic manufacturer going forward. Because as it stands, the price erosion that has happened in the market, even in injectables, I would say has largely bottomed out, especially in generic injectables. So what makes company A different from company B is how good a track record of compliance and continuity of supply is going to matter. You know, so typically what happens is API is something in regulated markets, you can't really change the source that quickly. If you want to change your source, you need 6 months of data and another 6 months of what we call as a filing of PAS. It might take up to 15 months for you to change suppliers. And if you don't have product supply from your primary source, then you're stuck for about a year and a half, you know. So this is where we feel that our API piece will really come into play. How we are looking at it now is we are going to start with the primary source for most of the products, where we have already developed over, like our MD said, 50 over products that we have already developed in at a lab scale. We need to scale that up and then start filing GMOs for that. That's number one. Number two is we also have a new OSD plant that is going to come up very close to Caplin Steriles. Now, this is also going to be aimed at the larger markets of Latin America and also US and EU eventually. And we want to be backward integrated on the APIs for this. Now, here, not just continuity of supply, I think cost control is also going to be achieved with our own APIs. And when it comes to oncology, we want to be directly backward integrated from day one. Even if it takes a little bit longer for us to start up, we will continue along this route. And basically, we've acquired around 4 buildings around 2.5 years ago, of which the first 2 buildings have already been converted into the formulation part of the oncology division. And then the next 2 buildings, we're in the process of changing them into our oncology API section.
And this plant, how much did we acquire it for?
I'll let CFO add some color on this thing.
Your API facility is an asset purchase. So we have paid the unit, we have paid a consideration of 25 crores for the plant and building and the plant and machinery as they are today. So as Silverlake has put, and also we have elaborated in the press release, we will have to evaluate the current status of the plant and machinery, estimate the additional capex that is required to cater to our needs. That we are in the process of working out. It will take a while, and next 4 months to 5 months, it will all be operational.
Yeah, so internally we feel that it might require a capex of around 35 to 45 crores for us to bring it up to a regulated market compliant plan. And this could take anywhere between 4 to 5 months from our side. The good thing is most of the R&D work for the products have already been completed. It's been completed for the last year and a half or more. So that part of it, we don't see any delays or anything like that. So as long as the facility is up and running, I think we can very quickly start looking at our first DMF filing from there.
Understood. And just on the... this overall margin this quarter, I mean, gross margins have been trending down. Any particular reason, or is that the Q2 had a very high base in itself?
Can I ask CFO to answer for this?
Yes, sir. Actually, as we have been telling in the past also, the gross margin will average around 54 to 55%. And then the product mix also plays a role, and then the customers whom we have dispatched play a role here. Some of the orders which are tender-based will not have the same margin as the normal products. There are various reasons. As the year end, we'll have come back to about 55% average as the year as a whole. That's what we could probably give.
Let me add one more thing. It's true, actually, in some of the products, the margins are lower. However, we are very keen, actually, to make sure that, you know, it will be a cash and carry transaction. We don't entertain anything in the form of credit. When the things are actually are normal, you know what is happening worldwide.
Sorry to interrupt. Sir, you're sounding too low. Can you please increase the volume, or you can use your handset to answer this question? Thank you.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, it's true. Let me repeat. It's true that there are some, to certain extent, the thing profitability is low. The low, that is because of the fact, actually, worldwide, there are issues which you are aware. However, what we do is we make sure that our transaction is cash and carry. We don't entertain any credit for the products where the margins are slightly lower. Okay. Anything else you want to ask, please?
Yeah, and so, I mean, when you actually blend all this together, I know there is, of course, investment phase going on. 23 calendar year, we'll see still some more investment in cost pressure, and API scale-up is happening. So should we assume that 23, you will not see major change in the margins, but 24, there can be substantial improvement?
You know about the business, there are entry barriers and we get into bigger geographies. But to us, I hope you would agree with me, the most important factors are A, it's still a debt-free company with a deposit of 700 plus crores. Second, as I told actually, that we will be building our deposits every year to the tune of 250 crores at least minimum. So the process that we create in the form of actually the vertical integration, which is very similar to any big companies which is already, you know, doing well. It may be a 1 year this way or that way, which we are not in a position to assure you at this juncture, but we are sure to do well in future.
Understood. And just last one, if I can squeeze, there was one product approved for review in China market, and probably you have hands full with limited capacity. So is China something that is in horizon in next 2-3 years? And if you could talk about what is the process in which you will enter the market?
Yeah, definitely China is one country where we have been exporting our products from China to South America. Now our next level of actually business will be totally differentiated. Some of them, I don't want to disclose at this juncture because disclosing everything leads to self-victimization. We will definitely do it, but it will not be that faster as it happened before. Because regulated market, anything in the form of regulated market, whether it is China, US or other countries, it takes its own time. But we have plans and we were not able to continue because of the fact which 2 years of COVID and subsequently, we have not been able to travel also because of quarantines that's happening in China.
So this JV that you had was, and that JV got liquidated also.
Yeah.
Was it created before COVID?
That's created before COVID and the JV is liquidated. However, actually, they are, in fact, in a smaller way, they are taking some intermediates from India through us. But we will definitely associate again and we are talking to each other. But of course, we'll let you know when it happens.
Understood. Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants may please press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Chirag from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure to interact with you, Chairman Sir Vivek, MD Sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And congratulations on great traction in such a difficult environment, at least across the board. Just had three questions, sir. One, can you share the H1 EBITDA number for sterile on just an approximate basis? I know at the year-end we always get to see it, but could you just share a ballpark number of the EBITDA quantum that sterile has generated in H1?
Yeah, of course, the CFO to give
The H1 CSL EBITDA is around 17 crores.
17 crores. Got it. So that would imply that our core business EBITDA is 191, which would be around a 32% margin. I just wanted to take an input. Is that something that we think is the sustainable margin from here onwards for the core business? Or are there some pressures because of all the things that are happening in the world that once they get relieved, this would inch up? What is your opinion about that number, sir?
So I'll just make one comment. Because we are still in investment phase when it comes to regulated markets, right? Because we don't really capitalize any of our R&D or filings or anything like that. We charge off all of them as expenses. So until we complete or we get close to completion of our investments into R&D and filings, we can't really be compared like for like to the parent company. Parent company is obviously a more mature business. But going forward, I would say 2 years hence, we would probably think that we would probably say that it would be closer to the parent company in terms of overall EBITDA.
Actually, my question was for the parent company only. So if I back into the core business margin, that for the first half comes out to be around, say, 32% odd for the core sterile, the LATAM Central America business. There is what I'm sort of looking for a guidance. Where do you think sustainable margins for the core parent businesses? Sterile, I understand we are in an investment phase, but for the core parent business, those margins have been in the 35%-36% range over the years. The core business, where do you think they will be in the future?
Yeah, so that, as Chairman had already described in the previous question, we expect our EBITDA margins to remain sustainable at the same level going forward. I mean, of course, one quarter here or there, if it goes up by a couple of points, you can't really compare it on a quarter-on-quarter basis. But by and large, we feel that the EBITDA that we are reporting right now is very much sustainable.
So the current EBITDA is what you think is the sustainable rate going forward, right? That's what you're saying.
Yes, again, it is a matter of us, being very conservative about it. Of course, you can always come back with a question saying that, you know, Capital Sterens is still in investment phase. Once it comes out and then breaks even, then obviously they should go up. And that is for sure what is going to happen. But we would like to be conservative in this and then maintain, because I think at current levels itself, I think we have very good EBITDA numbers for a company that's mostly to generic products.
Right, I understand that. And that's very helpful. Just on the growth rate part also, for the core business, last two quarters have been slightly lower than the kind of execution that we've all gotten used to for the core business. Is this something that is that we are working on actively, or do you think that, you know, given the large base now, incrementally, again, that number also has to be sort of moderated down for the growth of the core business?
Yeah, request Chairman to take this.
Let me give you an answer to this, please. What is happening today, yes, there will be, like, you know, sometimes it may go up, sometimes it may go down, because we have not been in a position to travel and take care of the marketing. And then we are focusing more on actually new markets. At the end of the day, what is important is not actually one quarter. It is, what is important is actually the indicators. In fact, the process that we are creating, the pipelines that we are creating in the form of projects, in the form of R&D, in the form of actually creating a vertically integrated business model. So ultimately, in the short run, it may be, you know, few percentage lesser, but in the long run, maybe 2 years from now, we will continue to do the way we have been doing in the past. We may even actually do better than before also.
Understood, sir. Very clear. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchstone phone. We have the next question from the line of Shivam Agarwal from Mirai Asset Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, all. So, sir, I have a question, like, can you talk a bit on the cost front, and how should we look at the margins planning out for over the next 2 to 3 years? And what were the factors determining as the U.S. business, the Captain Sterile's business, could pick up?
Gentlemen, actually, I think most of the questions are actually in line with one of the same. However, the most important, as you all, you will agree with me, as I told you before, first is debt-free, and year on year, we'll be in a position to create a deposit of 250 crore, which is not actually a small sum. Then we are building something in the form of process, you know, in the form of pipeline, in the form of work in progress. Everything leads to growth. It may or may not happen in this year or next year. It's going to happen in future in a big way. If you look at any company which is in the process of growing or grow, they are all actually right from key starting material, intermediates, API to formulation, front-end presence. We are there in some of the markets, and we are going to be there in all the bigger geography also in the future. That's why we are building facilities. We are also going for people by offering ESOP, you know, 2 rupees share at, 375 rupees or 340 rupees. 2 rupees share at 340 rupees, we are offering them at 2 rupees, the ESOPs, attractive ESOPs. So the things that we do today, whether it is in the form of attracting people or going for the technology, best of the best of products, and going for the business model differentiation in the regulated markets, we are sure of doing well. The reason being, we have been catering to the bottom of the pyramid. The only thing which is permanent in the world is change, people say. The one more thing which is permanent also is poverty. When we address to that one, poverty is one thing which is not there in the world. It's there everywhere. If you take US, even in US, you have uninsured and underinsured to the extent of 33%. But it takes time because entry barriers. There is no way we can compress the entry barriers, because the registration it takes is one time. The facilities and the SOPs and the way in which we will have to do things, we cannot compromise with the integrity, quality, or safety. In pharmaceutical business. That's why when we graduate from one level to the next level, it takes time. And you also know it's not actually a commodity business like any other commodity, not actually a pharmaceutical one. In, even if it is a commodity business and pharmaceutical, it has gone into the regulations. We have to stick to the regulations. Hence, the profitability on quarter basis, sometimes it may differ. Eventually, you will make it big. That is for sure. It's a question of time before we really make it. Yes, please. Hello?
Thank you, sir, for your answer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Anupam Agarwal from Lucky Investment Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. My question is on the US business. So, sir, if you can highlight to us the 555 ANDAs which are under development with the market size of $5 billion. The competitive dynamics of that overall market in terms of the number of players who fight for those products. Also, the current 100 crore half yearly run rate, what kind of market share have we been able to gain the products already in the market?
Yeah, so when it comes to competitive dynamics, I think it's a well-known information that is available. Typically, in injectables, there are always, for most generic injectables, there are always 5 to 6 players in the market, and these are all very large companies. The kind of companies that that have, you know, 100-150 over ANDAs in their names, you know. So we are very niche in the size that we are a small to mid-sized company, especially in the US, that has the unique proposition of having our own assets to our name, and also we are doing CMO business as well, you know. So I would say that we are very well positioned going forward in the longer run. When it comes to market share, it differs from product to product. There are products where we have high double digit market share. There are ones where we are in single digits as well, you know. So it also is probably not the right time to look at market share right now, because people are just coming out of COVID. And this year might not be the best indicator of market share, because what happens is outpatient services, especially at hospitals, which is where most of our injectable products go to, was not open till about 7-8 months ago. You know? So the view that you will take from any sort of market share prediction would be a little distorted. So I think 12 months from here might be a good place for us to look at what kind of market share that each of our products have taken.
Understood. If I am not wrong, do we have around 10-12 products in the market already, or?
In Caplin's own name, we have 13 products in the market, and with partners, we have another 4.
Another 4, okay. Can you, sir, highlight to what is the kind of filing targets do we have planned?
Okay, so we have 7 products under review, of which 3 of them are at late stage reviews where we expect approval in the next 2 to 3 months. And 4 more have been filed in the last couple of months, so we expect that to come by FY24. When it comes to filing targets, we actually are ready to file about 4 ophthalmic products already. That will happen in the next few weeks. And before the end of this financial year, we expect to file another at least 2 products, of which one of them will be a complex emulsion injection.
Understood. That's all from my side, and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may please press star and one to ask a question at this time. Participants may please press star 1 to ask a question. As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone that has participated with our earnings call for today, and also thanks to Mirai Assets and Harshal for taking on this initiative. and we expect to be in touch with you quite soon. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks to all of you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Mirae Asset Capital Markets, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.